Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Maron to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Maron at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome back to Sofa Cinema Club. I'm Colton Smith, and as always, I am joined by...
Jack P. Shepherd.
Ben Grieve.
Well done.
Not bad. Not great on the pronunciation, yeah. But not bad on the name.
The Sofa Cinema Club is our podcast where we get together to educate each other on films. Now, it is all about the films we should have seen, but we haven't. Each week, we get into the studio. I mean, this is the first time we've got into the studio for a very long time. And we talk about what we loved, hated, and rated about the film. Now, the beauty of our film club is that anyone can join in. All you have to do is watch along with the film at home. Join us every Thursday to find out what we thought of the film. This week's film has been chosen by Jack for me and Ben and you guys at home to watch. And it is the Norwegian subtitled classic Headhunters. But before we get into talking all things Headhunters, as always, how has your week been? What have you been up to?
Washing machine broke for me.
How?
Right, I've just got this wash. It's brand new. It's an all singing, all dancing.
Bosch?
LG.
Good, lots of different programs.
Yep, yeah, oh yeah. It's got
10-minute quick wash.
It's got them all.
Silk, wool, I'm on.
Everything.
Got you.
The gasket, so the little seal.
Yeah.
Ripped, gone.
Flood?
Yeah. Water just pissing out.
Is it new, or did you get it off?
Brand new. Cost a grand. I mean, it's expensive. For a washing machine.
Does it iron it as well?
Grand on a washing machine?
On a washing
machine.
Because it's all singing, all dancing.
It's not one of those two. It better be dancing. And I'm going to need some songs.
Washer dryer?
No, because they're shit. Washer dryers are shit.
They are shit.
But it's a kick, isn't it? £1,000?
It does, yeah. Is it not got that one with two drums?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you can get the duvet in. It's the full...
Massive.
Huge. Massive. Gone.
Did you put your smalls in?
Well, I've rang them up, LG, to kick off, and they've gone, right, well, we'll send you a part out, and a guy will come and fix it. A month. That's what they've said it's going to take. So I'm literally washing socks and shit in the bath.
So, for £1,000, what does this washing machine... do that another washing machine doesn't do?
Well, you can do the duvet
once a year.
You can do pillows. You can get all that.
Well, you can do that.
No,
in our
you
washing
can't.
Machine.
No,
ours is, I tell you what, ours is an absolute stunner. £99 candy, and it is absolutely brilliant,
well,
isn't it?
Ours broke, and the one that broke was from 1998, which is a year I was born.
Yeah,
and we literally have got cheapest chips in it.
Cheapest chip,
great.
Absolutely bang. If you need it,
yeah.
Now here we go.
Right,
I fixed our dryer. If you can get the part, you can replace it yourself.
Yeah, I'm sure it's simple, but yeah. They've said the part's going to take that long.
Oh, I see.
I'm like, why?
So you've got a month without washing clothes.
Yeah.
Which is why you're wearing that.
I mean, I'm wearing moth-bitten jumpers.
And you had to do the underpant washing there.
Yeah.
What did you
use? And it made the papers.
Did it?
Me washing my knickers in the bath.
You've been a bit camp there because you must have put it on Instagram. No one's just imagined and gone. I wonder what Jack's doing this week.
No, but how's that a story?
Can you not just get a replacement washer?
Well, that's what I've said. I've said if it's going to take a month for the part, just take this old shit away and give me a brand new one.
They sold it to you broken. Did it work once?
No, it's worked for like a month. It's a month old. But that shouldn't be happening. The seal's ripped.
What have you put in there, Jack?
Nothing. Just clothes.
What have you washed in there?
It's clothes.
Have you washed your trainers in
no.
there?
I still can't get over it. You spent £1,000 on a washing machine.
Because
it's silent. Like
It's silent. So you can't hear anything. It goes.
You can't have ours on and watch a film.
He did the sound of it not making a sound.
I made my lips as though I was doing a sound, but nothing was coming out.
Like that, very good. So it doesn't dry and it doesn't wash. But, so what does it do? But the lights are good.
And it doesn't make a sound.
Yeah.
Coulson?
Not a lot. Travelled back from Portugal. Watched Lady Bird, the E.T. recommendation.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. What did you think? You haven't seen it, have you, Jack?
No.
It's all right. It's not amazing. I didn't think it was amazing. I thought it was...
Five Oscars. Five Oscar nominees. Yeah. It's amazing.
I thought it was a good...
Millions is.
I mean, it was a... It's a coming-of-age film.
It's a great
then,
one. Millions is a great one because you can just bring it back. Papadopoulos was the one in that series, wasn't it? You could just bring it back. And then Millions, it's like getting pissed at the wedding.
Yeah.
You can always bring it back, Millions.
There was a line that I loved of... they're putting on like this amateur dramatic show in the school. And the drama teacher turns around and goes, right, let's play a game. Okay, everyone sit in a circle. We're going to play a game. The game is first person to cry wins. And then they're all sat in this circle. And then the drama teacher just starts crying. But it was a perfect runtime for a flight back.
I think it's a good film, but I understand it might not be right.
Yeah, I watched Blue Story as well on the...
I like play. That.
Yeah, I've seen it twice. I was at the cinema.
I've not seen it.
It's a bit... You talking about Hamilton reminded me of it. Okay. So it's like, it's based in London and it's basically the story of the Lewisham gang versus the Peckham gang, but it's a musical.
Okay.
Is it like a West Side Story raps?
It's like Romeo and Juliet, isn't it?
His girlfriend gets murdered.
Does he like the girl from the other gang?
No.
Oh, hold on, I'm thinking of a different film.
What are you thinking of?
They don't sing in it. It's not a musical.
Well, they don't sing, but the director is a rap is rap man, and he narrates it through rap.
Yeah, but it's not like a musical. They're not breaking out into song.
No, they don't sing. No, the narrator sings, and you often like it'll go from a scene, and then it'll pan, and it'll find this guy walking down the street rapping, and he kind of narrates the story.
Yeah.
It's Blue Story. It's on Netflix now.
It's good.
And what else have I done? Football, obviously. Leeds won a game, which is helpful.
Yeah. Time will tell.
Time will tell. A bit null
bit
and void.
A damp squid, innit, this week?
But...
Isn't it squib? Or was it squid?
Oh, I don't
damp know. Squib.
I thought it was squid. Damp squid.
The Visual Studio, we come with the Visual Studio with the shittest what have you been doing this week.
But then I guess the big news is we are in a Visual Studio for the first time ever, and it's the first time we've been back in studio since we recorded
Damp Squib.
I think yeah,
Damp Squib.
Yeah,
Damp
what squib. Is a squib?
I don't know, but I thought it, a situation or event which is more or less impressive than expected, a moment of power is a damp squib.
I've also got the same definition, though, for damp squid.
Ooh, controversial.
Let's put it out to the audience.
Although we're talking of damp squib and damp squid.
Yeah.
My girlfriend thought it was the shit hits the van. You get the same outcome.
I like that. God, because when the shit hits the van. The van. thing.
The shit hits the van.
I like that. I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
Much worse than the fan.
Well, before the shit hits the van on what we've been up to this week, shall we start talking all things Headhunters?
Yes.
Go.
Are you going to do it in Norwegian?
No.
It will be
although
impressive.
Listening to it, it's a beautiful language. It was really nice having it on.
I mean, I've got a confession to make straight off the bat.
Oh, you didn't do
no,
it.
No, because...
You could have found it.
I couldn't. Do you want to talk? I was on the phone to Apple TV, Ben.
You haven't updated it then?
No, because I bought it in English.
Yeah.
I'd have had to have waited 48 hours.
Ah.
To have then bought it again.
But you bought it in English?
Not knowingly. Not until it started and I was like, why is it an American accent?
It says dubbed.
But it. Yeah. I kind of just thought that I would
be able to
buy it and be able to change. I've even changed Apple TV to Norwegian.
Great layup, though, Jack. The Norwegian, that language is beautiful. I've got a confession.
But I have seen it before.
In the, yeah.
Yeah. I have seen it in Norwegian.
Okay, okay.
Is the acting as good? I always find the person doing the voiceover shit.
It's never as good.
Do you know what? After 10 minutes of being really pissed off about the fact,
yeah,
it was all right, right, but it was American.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the awkward...
Should we get into the synopsis?
Go.
Yeah.
So, Headhunters, like Coulson says, is a Norwegian film written by Jo Nesbø, who's an acclaimed Norwegian writer. And it basically follows Roger Brown, who's a headhunter. He's in recruitment. So he recruits people in top flight jobs, like CEOs of companies and stuff like that. And basically what he does is he gets to know them, what their interests and hobbies are, and he works out if they've got any expensive art. And what he does when he finds that out is he robs them, steals their art, and then sells it on the black market. He steals a piece of art off this guy who is recruiting, but unfortunately for him, he's like a military hitman. So he steals this painting, but then this guy comes after him.
Tad long.
Hold on.
What?
It was a tad long. But okay, yeah.
Tough in the
it was a tad long. It was good, but it was a tad long.
Couldn't have got much shorter there.
I think he built up his job a little bit much.
Well, it's Headhunters, isn't it? I'm sort of explaining why it's called Headhunters. Yeah. It's a play on words because Headhunters is obviously someone who's in recruitment agency, but the play on words is that someone goes after his head. Hunts his head. Very
good.
It's clever.
Very good, very good. He wouldn't have got that because he didn't watch.
So a different question to usual. We normally ask how you watched it, what your setup was, but because this is a film that obviously Jack loves and put Ben onto and then put me onto and now has put the podcast onto, how did you first come across this film?
I was in HMV. Oof. Do you remember that?
Remember them days? We're going back.
And it was... 3 for 2 Blu-rays by 3 for 2.
I knew you had it on DVD. You know when I texted you last night, I knew you had it on DVD.
Yeah, I did.
And on DVD?
Well, that's what I was trying to ask when I was sat watching it with an American voiceover.
And I read Jo Nesbø books. So he wrote The Snowman.
Yeah.
Which is a film that's come out recently.
Yeah, but it's an American.
It wasn't as
shit,
good.
Because it's an American version. Yeah, they just bought the rights.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, America has bought the rights to re-release Headhunters as an American release. Yeah,
good story.
They bought the rights while they were making the Norwegian version, but they haven't yet.
When was it made? The Norwegian must have been 2011,
around that time. Yeah.
Ben, how did you watch this film?
My son watched it with me.
Oh, yeah,
loved it. And actually, my kids are very good because they'll give it the first minute. So for someone like Millions, first 30 seconds walked out. He says, I'll see what it's like, and then was in for the whole thing. Sat in the chair, loved it. So me and him watched it.
Do they watch many subtitles film kids?
The great thing about my kids is, I think they do, and they have no reaction to it being in subtitles, none. Right. So if it's in subtitles or not, you've got to remember also, a lot more stuff is coming on Netflix, whether it's
bilingual.
It's awesome. Yeah. A lot of it's subtitles. The one thing that is good, because they've watched...
Squid Game.
Squid Game, but the heist one.
Money Heist
in Spanish.
I watched that dubbed.
Is what they won't watch it dubbed. They will only ever watch the subtitles. So that's something that's really good.
Also on social media nowadays, everything's subtitles. If you notice.
Yeah.
Even when they're speaking English.
Yeah.
For like an English audience.
Yeah.
There's still subtitles that are in English.
You did it the other day on your Instagram, I noticed that.
Yeah,
but I
put a song out.
It was still very clever.
Did you put it over you're washing your underpants? What song would you put over that? Washing your undies?
Car Wash comes to mind.
Car Wash.
Rolls Royce. Is it Rolls Royce?
Yeah. Rolls Royce.
So, Headhunters.
Yeah.
As Jack said in the synopsis, it is a film that follows this character of Roger Brown, who is a businessman. He's clearly got a lot of money because of the house that he lives in. And he kind of says in this opening monologue, "This life isn't exactly what it seems. My wife thinks I've got a lot of money. She thinks I inherited it. My job doesn't pay me that much. I can't keep living the lifestyle that I am living on my salary. I have to kind of have a part-time job, a side hustle." And we meet him going to work in his office, and he is interviewing a candidate for a job. And it's a job in, like, Norway's biggest GPS company, yeah, isn't it? So it's kind of very specific, and they want a candidate to be the CEO, and it's a big, big role. And straight away, you notice in this scene, it seems just like a normal interview. If you didn't know the background of what Roger Brown's side hustle was, this is just a normal interview. But in the interview, the questions he asks are, "Do you have any kids?" "Yeah, but she goes to nursery." "Does your wife have a job?" And he kind of starts
to
learn.
The big one is always, "Do you have a dog?"
Dog, yeah.
Because he's scared of
dogs. And also, yeah, it's a nightmare if the dog... I mean, crack, if it was starving, a nightmare. Forget it, game over.
So he gets people in the meeting and very quickly works out what their situation is. And then he talks to them about art, and he establishes, do they have a piece of art that is worth
stealing?
Because
that's what headhunters do. So headhunters pre-interview for the role, and then will only put forward the two candidates they think are right.
But he's asking questions not only that benefit the job, but also benefit him. And, you know, we see from this first interview that there's a guy and he's got a piece of art that's worth $250,000. So he tells him that he's got an interview the next day. He knows he's out of his house because he's at this interview. He knows his wife is working. He knows his kid's at school. So he knows he's got the perfect opportunity to burgle this house and steal the artwork. And it kind of shows how accomplished and how slick he is in doing so, doesn't it? Because he's in, he's out, he's got a team of people that work for him.
In that interview, he references his own art behind him.
Yeah.
He says a story about the art, doesn't he? And you could say it's just a collection of lines and faces, but it's worth X. So he leads that guy into talking to him about his art, but it wouldn't seem funny if you asked, if you went and interviewed him, go, "Yeah, no, we just talked about a painting. He had a painting. Yeah, I've got a painting." Yeah. I thought, "Oh, that's really clever." Because he obviously does that with every single person. Goes, "Oh, look at my art. Do you have any art? Do you have a washing machine that's worth £1,000?
What would he do if he said to you, "Do you have any art?" Would you be like, "I've got a Back to the Future poster in my bedroom. I've got an Alex Higgins snooker."
You have got a piece of art.
I've got, and there's art that's not out as well. But
all right,
it's not shit.
What is it?
Henry VIII is worth a lot of money.
It's like having a Banksy in the flat.
It's a photo, but it's art, but it's symbolic to me, which is what art should be. It's Henry VIII. Yeah, because Henry VIII was the first ever part that I played.
Great casting.
Where was that? The school play?
In year three, and I smashed
it. That was, in year three. How old were you? Six.
Eight.
That was kind of the moment that we knew. We knew.
That was the moment my mum sat there and went, "Oh, you're a star."
From then on.
You're playing Henry VIII and you're eight, and I can see it.
Right. What it was is, at Park Junior School, each school, like, form used to take on the assembly. So we would run the assembly, and it was my classes, Miss Donaldson's class. It was our turn to run the assembly. And we did a show about Henry VIII, and it was only a 15-minute assembly, and I was Henry VIII, and I was fucking mint. It was that good that we had to put the assembly on for the parents. We had to make it a show, and it was from that moment onwards that it was like, "Oh, okay, I want to be an actor," so I started showing interest in it. So Henry VIII was the first part that I ever played. Then, being probably 18, 19, in the age that I lived with Jack, I started to really enjoy, like,
clothes,
a pair of shoes.
Trainers.
It was mainly shoes because I was too fat to wear clothes. Nothing fit. So it was like whatever ASOS did in 20XL, and then shoes. Shoes, anyone could fit into shoes. So I used to...
anyone's feet fits into shoes. I found that as well.
I used to buy Yeezys, and the artwork that I've got is Henry VIII in the pose of Kanye West wearing Yeezy Butters, which are in my bag right now, actually, my Yeezy Butters, because I wear them to the gym.
He's wearing Yeezys, isn't he?
And he's in the pose of Kanye West, but fully, it's the famous portrait of Henry VIII that everyone knows. And it's done by an artist called Ruben Dangor, who is really cool. And I've got quite a lot of his stuff that's enrolled. And recently I've bought, you know, Joe Lycett, the comedian.
Yeah.
Joe Lycett, the comedian, has done a whole range called, like, Wanker. So I've bought Wanker Orange, which is Joe Lycett. It's not very good at art, but it works because it's funny. So it's a tin of Fanta that says Wanker. And
it's a painting.
Yeah. There's a few of them that Joe Lycett's done. I've bought about three. Bloody hell.
So you had a significance to Henry VIII, and now you've just bought a painting with Wanker.
Anyway, moving on. So if I was going for the job interview, they'd be straight in, Ruben Dangor's being cut off the wall.
You got a Henry VIII. I do, actually.
I do, actually. I've got the Henry VIII Kanye West hype beast. I'd be like that.
What's funny was, I got the feeling he'd been taught this. I know you don't go into it in the film, but he'd been taught, because he says he replaces the art with a very, very cheap copy, doesn't he?
Mm.
A lot of what you get is that the people have bought the art but don't really know what they've bought. They just have the art in their house. And then he replaced it with almost like a photocopy.
Yeah.
But I got the feeling like he'd sort of been told this by someone who'd done it before, like an art thief before.
Well, he does say that he inherited it. So you do wonder if he inherited the money as well as inheriting the skill. And he's clearly quite, you know, he's very accomplished at it, isn't he? He's a very good thief. Yeah.
He's using tape on his hands and everything, and gloves and bags on his shoes.
Look at his house is worth 30 million
krona, which is 2.5 mil.
Okay. So it's a nice house.
The thing is, he can't pay for his lifestyle. So it's not just the house. It's the car. It's the gifts he buys for his wife. It's the whole lot of his lifestyle. He's living above his means.
Because we see from his first theft that the cut that he gets from it isn't enough to buy the earrings that he's bought for his wife as the present for her opening the gallery.
Well, after everything he steals, he only gets 30%, because 50% goes to whoever's buying it and getting rid of it. And then he splits, he gives 20% of his 50 to the guy who does all the alarms.
His guy.
Over, he's called.
Yeah.
So he's only coming out with 30% of whatever he nicks.
So we meet his wife at this kind of event. She's opening an art gallery, ironically. And in this, we meet a few key characters. So we meet the character that is...
Klaas.
He's from Amsterdam. He's a very wealthy man. And he has moved here to renovate his, like, grandma who's died's home, hasn't he? But he has been working in the rival company...
Hort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a GPS, it's a tracking company, and I think they're based in Amsterdam, and he's now recruiting for Pathfinder, which is the rival of the company, and he's almost the perfect candidate.
Yeah.
We also meet the detective who has been studying art theft all across Oslo, Norway, and Europe, really, to kind of get a grasp on what has been going on. And these are key characters in the film, aren't they, that we meet in the gallery?
Yeah, I don't think there's enough made of the detective. It's almost like, I wonder if they shot him more. I wonder if there are more scenes of him. That would have been more intriguing, I think.
But I just love the pace of it. And I was thinking last night as I was watching, the film just moves so quickly and so well. It's like every 5 minutes it's giving you something else, and it keeps your attention and it keeps you engaged throughout, doesn't it?
But you're never going to guess what happens. Watching the beginning of that film and how he looks and his life, you don't think, where's he going to end up? Because the shit he goes through is unreal.
And on a second watch, the only thing that I remembered was, because obviously in that first scene when he says, have you got a dog? I was like, oh, God, what happens with a dog? Something happens with a dog. And that was the only thing that was embedded in my memory about the film. The rest of it, it was almost like it happening afresh, and the twist still got me. And it is just such a great pace. So basically, Klaas, not Klaus, Klaas, in with long hair,
Who's a Leeds fan?
It's him from Game of Thrones,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
I forgot it was him.
So basically, the whole point of it is he's in massive debt, isn't he? And his accountant gets on the phone and there's that pivotal scene where the accountant says you're spending more than you're earning.
Yeah.
He goes, don't worry, I've got a plan. And then you find out the plan is you're going to keep doing small bits of art, then eventually you're going to hit the one banger.
Yeah.
You're going to hit the one Banksy or the Henry VIII. And this is the Rubens, which is basically retirement money. Even 50% of it is retirement money.
Well, this Rubens has kind of been valued at about £100 million, if not more. Like
Krona.
They've said the
Krona.
So the value.
So we 30 million was like 2.5,
who cares?
Isn't it?
It's
like 7 million quid.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. So he knows that he's kind of hit the jackpot here, and he knows where it is, he knows who's got it, and he knows exactly how he's going to get it. And it's another faultless operation. He sets up meetings, he does everything, he gets in, he steals a painting, and as he's leaving, he hears children playing, and him and his wife have kind of had this discussion about having kids, and he's been reluctant to the fact.
It's the only bit of the film
that's weird.
What? Why?
Takes his mask off.
Well, it actually has no repercussions.
It doesn't have any repercussions.
No, but he's so precise.
Hang on. Doesn't he take his mask off when he hears the phone?
No, he takes it down he looks at the kids. Then he decides to make the phone call. Yeah.
I did wonder, have they put that in there so that the audience thinks that is going to be his mistake? Because it is imperfect, and he is perfect. And it's not his mistake. His mistake, really, is he's been making a mistake from bowl one.
The problem the writer had, obviously, is how to connect the wife with him.
Okay,
and
yeah.
And he uses the phone in the... It's the only bit of the story that's a bit crunchy. He's obviously thought, I need some way of him finding out, and she leaves her phone, and she happens to leave the phone in the bedroom,
yeah,
in the flat. That's what links them, isn't it?
So his wife has obviously slept with the Leeds family.
Well, he rings his wife, and her phone rings his bedroom.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good little bit in the film, isn't
yeah.
it? When it rings and you yeah. go, oh.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh.
But it's weird because you feel sympathetic for him, yet he's been having an affair.
What's she called? Lottie?
Yeah. But she's a setup, isn't she?
We don't know that.
We don't know that. Audience, we don't know that. I've blocked the cat out of the bag.
So they steal the Reuben, and he has it in his car, and it's all planned to get rid of it. But obviously, there is the issue for him that he knows that his wife has cheated on him and has slept with somebody else, and that kind of beds with him. But, you know, job number one is get his painting sold.
He doesn't say anything, does he? He's just quite cold with her.
Yeah. The next morning, he wakes up when the painting should have been moved by his
friend Over.
When Over should have moved the painting.
Over.
And he finds him in his car to what he thinks is dead.
Well, he's sort of slumped, isn't he? And he's...
Yeah, and he's been poisoned, and it obviously wasn't designed for him. It was designed for...
Roger.
He's meant to sit on it.
It's a little needle syringe embedded in his car seat.
In the leather seat.
So and the lad has kneeled on it to get the painting.
Yep.
It's put him to sleep, and then he thinks, I've got to get rid of... He's very calm and collected about getting rid of a dead body, isn't he?
His mate as well. Yeah. That is a bit of, like, if I'd found you like that, what am I going to do?
His mate?
It's not really his mate, I suppose, is it? I would have put him in the washing machine. No one's opening that for a month.
For a month.
Clear.
You've got a month.
Clear. Until it gets fixed, I'm off.
A month passed.
Hypothetically speaking, Jack, you've walked into your car.
Yeah.
You've found me dead.
Yeah.
Where would you put me?
In the boot.
And just leave me there?
No, because I'm driving to the lake to sink
you. So you do exactly the same?
If push comes to shove, pardon the pun, yeah, I need to sell the painting.
What lake?
Media City.
The keys.
In the keys.
Well, what would you do with me?
I'd keep you around.
Just leave.
No, I'd go to that...
I'd talk to you.
You know that sewage place that's just
as we drive to work.
Sort of there.
Yeah.
Over the bridge.
I've often drove past
and the
door.
Thing is...
Coulson would do really
what
well
What you
in
can
there.
Smell is shit. Like, you can smell shit as you're driving over. So what's the difference between that smell and a decaying corpse?
So and your undies.
So if I'm going to put you anywhere, it's probably in there, because in when the you start to rot, people aren't going to find you.
I tell you what, though, you're going to have to... You're not the biggest lad.
No, no.
You'd struggle with me in your jeans and Converse. Yeah, you might have to get Ben in to help, yeah.
You'd have to help me, but yeah. I wouldn't want to know what we're doing, so you'd have to just...
Blindfold.
No, it's not Coulson. It's not Coulson.
Have you seen Coulson? Have you spoke to him? No, I haven't had a text or anything. As I'm...
Grab the arms.
Grab the arms. Doing one to the suey.
Two.
Three. His phone rings. Can I text him? Beep, beep, as he lands in the poo.
So I'm in the sewage at Trafford Industrial Estate, but Over's not, is he?
He puts him in the lake.
Yep, rocks in his pocket.
And he's like, oh, and he weighs him down. And you can see he's gutted that his friend's died or whatever, and he's put him in the lake. Yeah. And then the fucker comes back to life. And he comes up from the, and he's gasping for air. But because he's put rocks in his pocket, he sinks.
Yeah.
So he thinks, fuck. So he has to jump in to save him. He saves him, gets him out, and he just keeps on saying, Natasha, Natasha, doesn't he? Who's this Russian prostitute?
Yeah.
And he's like, where's your house? Where's your house? He drives to his house, gets him in, and he's like, wake up, wake up. And he's all over the place because he's being injected with God knows what.
Yeah.
And he's saying, you're going to be all right, you're going to be all right.
I'll get you some milk.
And he's saying, take me to an hospital. And he's like, look, we're not going to an hospital. We're getting rid of the painting. We're going to have loads of money. We can still do this. We're going to be okay.
You're not going to die.
I'll get you some milk. That neutralises the poison. Like, he's just made that up.
And we know that Uwe has said that in his house, he is never less than an arm's
reach
from a gun.
Yeah, he's got guns all over the house.
He's got a gun in the fridge, hasn't he? And by the milk.
When he gets
in the Frosties.
That's where I keep mine.
When Roger gets the milk, Roger takes the gun and he goes back into the lounge and he's greeted by Uwe.
Over the Uzi. Uwe the Uzi.
Yeah, so it's a standoff. And he's still got the milk in his hand, hasn't he? Because my son went, ooh, that was the only bit my son went, he would have shot him, Dad. Because he's
all over
him.
He's all over.
And that's what I said. I said, he's all over the place, son. So they have a shoot off, and over he gets it.
Yeah.
In the head. Crack shot.
But the milk doesn't smash, does it?
Well, it does. It goes, but he still keeps holding it. I love that.
Which is very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. So he's dead. Uwe's dead.
And he's just thinking, how is this fucking escalating like this?
Yeah.
And Uwe's a tech guy, isn't he, with alarms and security.
Yeah.
And he's famously got security cameras in his house that's pointed around his house, but not at the bed, which is where Uwe is.
Yes.
And he's done that because when he has this Russian prostitute
Natasha.
Around and sleep with him, his friends at the alarm company like to watch what they're getting up to.
Yeah.
So they're filmed all around the house, but not the bed, which is where Uwe's just died.
Yeah. But it only is triggered when the alarm's on, isn't it?
Yes.
They don't take the photo then, do they?
No.
No.
So he leaves Uwe in the house dead. And as he kind of comes out of the house, we see
Klaus,
the chief hunter himself in a way, isn't he now in the film? And Klaus says, Roger, I need to talk to you. And obviously, we don't quite know if Klaus knows about the art or if he's just in it for the job. We don't quite know at this point, but it is clear that his intentions aren't good. And he's gone from being this dapper guy.
But he's Googled him, hasn't he? And he knows his military background.
He's gone from being this dapper guy in a suit to this guy who is quite clearly a member of the armed forces.
A tracking specialist.
Yeah, he's in all of his commando gear.
The worst people to piss off.
And he knows that from Google.
Yeah.
And he puts two and two together and thinks, I've got tracking devices on me. And that's how he's turned up at fucking Uwe's house.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because he knows where I am.
Yeah.
So he runs.
He bolts.
And he kind of decides that the tracking device might be in the car. So he thinks, I know what I'll do. I'll get to the car. He
takes his clothes off, doesn't he?
Yeah. Switches cars, takes all of his clothes off, puts Uwe's work gear on.
Yeah.
And he's kind of on the way. And because he doesn't know what to do, and because he kind of is in Uwe's car and in Uwe's clothes, he decides that he's going to go to Uwe's safe space, doesn't he? And we're greeted by this farmer, and he says, look, can I use the shack and can I park my car in the barn? And the farmer's basically like, you can do whatever you want as long as you pay me.
Mm.
What I loved about that, though, was the farmer was the character.
He was great, and it's clear that Uwe uses this barn to sleep with his Russian prostitute. So the farmer kind of says, yeah, but you have to pay me because I don't ask any questions about what you get up to. Yeah. And I know that you get up to some dodgy shit.
Well, I like the way the farmer was pissed off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just a part. The guy was like, no, I'm pissed off, actually. Pay me.
So he goes into the shed and he has the artwork and he goes, I've got to hide this artwork because at the moment, this is what it's all about. He wants this. I want this. This is my golden ticket. Let's hide it.
I was thinking the tracking device must be on the artwork when I first saw it.
That's
the only thing he's kept with him.
Interesting thought. So he hides the artwork in this toilet, doesn't he? Like this almost
outdoor toilet.
Like proper Shrek style.
So he goes into the small loo, which actually is quite roomy. Wooden seat.
Yeah.
Hides the painting in the roof. Good hiding place.
Great hiding place.
Very good.
Speaking of good hiding places, when he sees Klaus, there is only one thing he can do. And it's almost a moment of disbelief.
Well,
it's
that dog.
Member.
So that bulldog. Is it?
It's the dog.
No, pit bull.
It's not. It's a Norwegian breed of dog that's illegal in Norway. So in effect, it's our pit bull. So you know how if you see a pit bull, you're like, they're illegal in England.
Yeah.
That's a dog that in Norway is illegal.
Are they illegal?
Pit bulls are.
Are they?
Are they?
Yeah.
Anyway, big dog smells him.
Yep.
He's in the loo.
There's only one thing he can do. He has to go in the hole, doesn't
he? But would he just brilliantly, and I never thought about this, is he uses a toilet roll as a snorkel.
Yeah.
And how deep is that shit? Because I know he's 5'8". He makes it very clear that he's 5'8".
So he gets in the loo, doesn't he?
He gets in.
And then he goes.
He gets in 6 foot worth of shit.
No, he's lying down. He's lying down, Coulson. He's lying down. He's lying down. It's exactly like that.
He does the submerge.
It's Jack in the bath with his underpants.
Yeah.
He does the submerge. And
so he's in a
the toilet roll as a snorkel.
Yeah.
And that was the bit my son loved that.
That's the key.
It's genius. And then he does the next half an hour of the film covered in shit.
So Klaus comes in the toilet, looks round, can't see anything. Lifts up trap one.
Yeah.
Has a look. Oof. Hello.
Hello.
That stinks. And then he's looking for him. Well, where is it? And he's no network, has he, on his GPS track thing?
No.
Can't locate him.
Well, no, we can't locate him because the tracker's in his hair. And he's in a load of shit.
Yeah.
So that's when I thought, oh, it's not on the painting.
It is on him.
Because he can't get him through the shit.
Yeah.
And then he gets out of the shit and then
runs.
Naked.
Runs
that,
that
woman. Naked.
Falls over.
Covered in shit.
Covered in shit, which is great. Gets in the car. Car doesn't work.
He's severed the battery.
Hasn't he? Then thinks
tractor.
Because that's fast, isn't it?
Yep. And the one thing that we don't want is Jack's old mate, the extremely large pit bull, to come and pay a visit.
He needs the keys, though, doesn't he? So he goes to the farmer to get the keys.
Yeah.
Farmer's dead.
Been murdered.
Yeah. Klaus has done him.
Yeah.
Gets the keys from his pocket.
Yeah.
Back to tractor. And then just as he's about to get in the tractor, woof, woof, behind him.
And the dog gets him and bites him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what it's there for.
Mm.
And, I mean, Jack, I'll let you talk through this moment.
Well, it's just, what do you do? That pit bull, whatever it is, it's dragging it. That hurts. He tries the old hit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it comes back at him.
Yeah.
And his only weapon of choice is the tractor.
Yeah.
So he picks up the dog and impales it.
Into the tractor.
Into the tractor. So the dog is on the end.
I was a bit upset by that.
Can you do the dog noise when it gets hit?
I was a bit upset.
I think we should. Let's hear yours.
Short, sharp, sharp.
Nah, it's not. It was longer. It was like it gave it the.
But you know someone will have had to be in a dubbing studio and go, what's happened? Okay, so your motivation is you're covered in shit, a dog's attacking you, and then you're going to put it into a tractor and action?
The whole film just gives you bits to remember, doesn't it? It gives you bits to show its personality and kind of show this is what I am and this is what I'm going to do. Like, if you think of the key bits in it, it's so that lives long in the memory, isn't it? I guess
it's almost a comedy because you think, how much shit can this guy?
But that's what makes me think that's why that writer's probably so skilled. It's just on the edge, isn't it, all the time?
Mm.
But weirdly, you think, oh, it kind of makes sense. It kind of makes sense. He's covered in shit.
Yeah.
And he's driving a tractor. Then the next scene's a complete cut, isn't it? Because he wakes up in hospital.
Yeah. Wakes up in a hospital, and the medic brings him some food in. And he says, is there anybody here for me? Because he thinks he sees Klaus's car in the car park, doesn't he? And the medic says, no, there's just the police, but I've told the police that you won't speak to them until you've had your breakfast. So he's like, bollocks, this is it. I've been caught. So they arrest him, but they arrest him as Uwe, and they arrest him for the murder of the farmer, don't they?
Yes.
So he kind of thinks, well, right, this is nothing to do with me stealing the art, and this is nothing to do with Klaus. And he kind of allows it. And as they're driving down a road, the detective is getting another job through. And it's obviously, they're very sleepy detectives. One's come from Oslo and the rest are, you know, they're in the country.
Well, it's like a one-horse town where nothing happens.
Yeah.
You sort of work that out on what the people are saying on the...
What I love is the copper gives him a hard time in the car. Come on, say you did it.
Yeah, yeah. Make this easy. Yeah, I've come all the way from Oslo.
I didn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
There's been a truck stolen and the detective kind of says, I can see the truck. It's not been stolen. He's in it. He's driving towards us. He's lost his head. And he went, right, I'll stop the truck. He gets out of the car. And at this moment, Roger goes, I know exactly who's in that truck. The person who's in that truck knows who's in this police car. And this truck just belts it, doesn't
it? Well, he's sandwiched in the back seat, middle seat, with the two guys.
Who are
And he cannot move. Mm. He cannot move. I actually always do think, if we have a crash,
would I be all
I
right?
think I'm all right.
Well, you would be all right. You're not moving.
Yeah. You can't move, anywhere. And any sort
and
of damage.
And his seatbelt. Yeah, you're fine.
I can't get out. There's nothing.
Yeah.
This truck completely piles in to this car and knocks it off the cliff and it goes flying and the car lands nose into the bottom of this cliff and
Cliff Richard.
We'll put it on a mug, shall we? This car flies into the bottom of this cliff and
They're all dead.
There's blood.
Ooh, I tell you what,
everywhere. His head isn't on the rock.
His head is smashed.
Oh.
Yeah, but you know when his head smashed, my son goes to him. It'd be worse than that. I said that's pretty bad.
That's pretty.
He's got no nose. He's no face. I said, but like I said, and then I have a little semi argument with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how many people have you seen pushed off a cliff? No, it'd be worse than that, Dad. It'd be way worse. What? Like you're a doctor of autopsy. That's pretty bad. It's got no face.
I mean, it's gone in. His face is awful. Gone in.
When you see it, good makeup, isn't it? Because when you see it, you go,
it looks like a potato that's been beaten.
It's awful. But that's also what the film does very well is it doesn't shy away from that.
No.
It goes, let's not
deal with that.
Don't put a bit of blood on.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's got to look absolutely smashed, like you wouldn't know who it was.
And when Klaus comes down to check that Roger is dead, Roger does this thing where he's in all the pain in the world and he kind of takes the blood off the twins.
Oh, he
and wipes it on his face.
He goes into their spleen and takes some blood and organs out and rubs it all over his face to appear dead. And then does the... I mean, I wouldn't do this.
I would.
You're going to keep your eyes on
him. I'm going to look at him.
Okay, I'm
going.
Okay, right, Coulson now. So, hold on. In the film...
Yep.
The baddie...
He can't reach.
...looks into the car, can't reach, so looks into... It's a very, very, very clever bit of the film.
And he's trying to get
Klaus,
his nose.
He's trying to see whether he's dead. Klaus has got his eyes open.
Yep.
He keeps his eyes open that he's dead.
How long was this scene? 30 seconds?
Yeah.
You ready?
Right, you ready? 30 seconds. You can't blink. You've got to keep... But you've got to look dead.
Yeah.
...for 30 seconds, okay?
Yep.
Coulson, this is serious.
Yeah.
Now. Take this seriously, okay? Jack,
tell me when you're ready.
But bear in mind, if you blink...
You're dead.
You're dead. Are you ready? Are you ready? Sweating.
I'm ready.
You're nervous. You're nervous.
You ready?
Go.
No, wait.
No, right, you've got to...
So, do I have to say I'm ready?
Yeah. We can't just...
But, no, hang on. You don't have to look at Ben.
No, because I'll put my face will make you laugh. You've got 30 seconds to not blink. Look straight ahead.
Yep.
If you blink,
He died.
He did.
Okay. Go. My eyes are what? I'm crying.
You've gone. You've gone.
Nice to have known you anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But your eyes were...
Trap door. God.
Hey!
And that's it for this week.
That's it for this
of
week.
Of crowd.
Yeah.
He blinked. His eyes watered.
Don't blink. I don't... I mean, that you've literally thrown me in at the deep end there. But
yeah, but he wasn't prepared for it, Colton.
I mean,
he ended an eyes open in case I get looked at by a killer.
But I genuinely think, from an actor's point of view, eyes open was a much better decision.
Well, you've just proved
you've
it
just
isn't.
Proved it wasn't. You're dead. Me and Jack are fine.
We're fine.
I can stay asleep for ages.
I might have even died smiling.
So anyway, he escapes, didn't he? He changes his clothes with the guy who's got a smash face. Killer goes off. Then he thinks, actually, this is perfect. They think I'm dead.
Yeah.
Killer thinks I'm dead.
He just wants to know if his wife was in on it.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
You know, his life is in turmoil over the fact that he's stolen a piece of art, basically. Yeah. And the underlining part of it all is, you know, my wife is having an affair on me. And is she part of the setup?
Yeah.
And that's what he doesn't know. So he goes to the only person that he thinks he can trust, which is the girl he's been having the affair with. And it turns out that she's the one who's in on it. And he says, is Diana in on this? Is she in? She's like, I don't know. I mean, he kills her off, doesn't he, straight away.
Again, she comes at him with the knife.
Yeah, yeah. And
what
like,
did he do? He's got the gun and he's like, he fights her off and says, stop trying to hit me, stop trying to kill me. And she does stop. And then she says, look, I was in on it. Klaus wanted to get closer to you. Then when you didn't want to see me anymore, he then had to come up with a new plan. So he told the story about the painting, knowing Diana would tell you.
Shoots her through his jogging bottom.
Which is brilliant. I love that.
Bang. Very good. That bit where he shoots that girl, his ex-girlfriend, is she says it's nothing to do with the painting. It's to do with he wants a job.
Job, yeah.
And you were going to stop him getting that job.
We find out that he hasn't actually left the rival company in Amsterdam,
no,
has he?
No.
He just needs this bit of technology that Pathfinders have got. So they've completely set it up so that he goes and gets this job.
Exactly, yeah.
And he was going to basically be the CEO at both companies and fob Pathfinders off so that he could go and live this life where he gets everything and makes the company amazing.
He gives a choice to his wife. His wife gives him a credit card and says, you've got as long as it takes to get out, we're kind of done, doesn't she? That's what you think.
Yeah.
But then he lets his guard down and he says why he didn't want to start a family because he couldn't imagine having a baby with her because he loves her so much and he didn't want to give her something that she would ultimately love more.
More than she loved him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a selfish thing to think like that. But he does say that he...
And he never talks about his affair,
I think, does he? No, he doesn't. No.
He talks about his, and he's going, did you really...
No, he does, because, she says, did you love her?
Yeah.
So he does come clean about everything.
The ultimate test is, he goes back to where he's murdered.
He gets
Uwe.
Evidence.
Yeah. And he is getting rid of the evidence, and he's kind of cleaning up off his own back, isn't he? And then... Klaus walks in, and it's that moment where Klaus kind of says, you thought she loved you. Well, she doesn't. She came to see me. She's betrayed you. And as an audience member, you're like, oh, fuck. Like, she's done him. And then this is the part of the film that is inevitably... So, I mean, the whole film's so clever, but he gets him in a position where he can compromise the fact and make it look like he's killed Hoover, can't he?
Yes, because Hoover's dead on the bed. Klaus walks in and's like, what the fuck is going on here? Who's this guy?
Yeah.
Why is he dead? Why is the blood everywhere? What's going on, Roger? So he sort of just ignores that.
Yeah.
And he tries to get him into a position where Klaus is going to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he wants him to fire his gun.
Yep.
And he does. He gets his gun and he goes to shoot Roger. And as he shoots Roger, he doesn't die. Roger gets the Uzi and sprays the room. Klaus goes down and he's like, do you know what Diana's done for me? You've just proved that she loves me.
Yeah.
Because I got her to meet you today to change your bullets for blanks.
Yeah.
Because I knew you would come here with that gun, fire the blanks, and I've no idea how many blanks she managed to switch.
Yeah, and he left the gun that he killed Uwe with.
Uwe with, and Lottie.
So he completely...
He's got the murder weapon in his hand.
He completely frames Klaus for absolutely everything. And, even more clever, he's activated the alarm. So one POV, the POV of Roger or even Uwe, is all filmed, which is Klaus...
Dying
and shooting and being in the wrong. And Roger walks away a free man.
So it looks like a classic standoff, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's a very clever bit of writing.
So before we get into rating the film, let's take a quick break and then we will come back with our ratings.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We're back from the break. Jack, it is your film, so that means that you start us off.
I've got to go 10. I've got to go 10 for this. I absolutely love it. I think I've seen it about 5-6 times now, this film. And every single time, I still get the same buzz out of it. And the twists are perfect. It seems like a perfect film. The writing's clever. The story... And he's just an everyday man. This is what I love about it. As far-fetched as it is, for some reason you think it would happen because he's an everyday bloke and you can put yourself in that shit situation. What would you do? You're constantly thinking, but what would you do? What would you do in that scenario? I have to go 10. I think the acting's superb. I love the guy who's Roger Brown. The hitman, his wife. Everything about it. I really, really, really like it.
I really, really like this film. Like I said, the pace of it is something that I just don't think I've ever quite had, you know. You sit down and you are entertained from start to finish. There is not one part of you that wants to take your eyes away from the screen. And whether that's the film, whether that's the script, I don't know, but it perfectly engages you. The twists, the cleverness, it kind of does have absolutely everything. You know, you sit and watch it and you want to be a Norwegian art thief.
Job sense.
Watch it work. Well, I started off as Henry VIII, but I've changed now. I'd like to be a Norwegian art thief, if that's possible. Yes, sir. I think we've got just the job for you.
9.5. And it's so close to being a 10. So close.
It's a deliberate.
It's not because.
Bit of shit.
But I know that you're not going to give it a 10.
10? Just to piss you. No, I can see why you gave it a 10. I can see why it's good film. Do I like watching it? Yeah. Could I watch it again and again? Yeah. Is it 10 for me? No. Do I think it's a clever script? Yes. Do I think it's anything more than a kind of good romp for me? That's what it is.
What's a romp?
Like, I think the reason you can tell he's so successful is exactly what Jack said, is all the elements taken individually make no sense at all. A dead dog on a tractor, a man covered in shit, a guy with his face smashed off and surviving a cliff fall in between two big men. All of it shouldn't work, and all of it does work. But it's not a film I think is a 10 for me. 8.
Okay. So we've got a 10, 9.5, and an 8, which is 27.5, which is high.
It's in between Network and Grease.
That's fair. Take that.
Anyway, for the first time ever in the audio studio, let's get the choir together. Jack's hidden gem of the week.
Probably the best, that.
The gem this week.
Gem this week is, funnily enough, it's a documentary that's the third documentary. So there is two that came out before it. It doesn't matter if you haven't seen the other two. It's basically, the first documentary that came out is called Paradise Lost.
I thought that's what it was going to be.
That's quite a long documentary. It's about 3.5 hours long. And it's about three teenage boys that were accused of murdering three young boys in a wood in America. And there's a trial, and at the end of the trial, they get sent down and they're on death row. The whole documentary is the trial. And the documentary sort of wants to make you sort of see how the injustice in that trial, the things that the police department did and the DA did and everything like that. This new documentary takes place when the boys are in prison for the murders and they're trying to get them out. It's called West of Memphis and it's available on YouTube, Amazon Prime. I think that's it.
Wasn't the middle one on Netflix at one point?
The middle one's not so good. The middle one, I can't remember what it's called, Revelations or something like that. You don't need to watch the middle one.
I think I saw the West of Memphis one.
West of Memphis one is really
Which
good.
Is the one with the Bob Dylan fundraiser song?
That's the West of Memphis one, I think. I don't think it's Bob Dylan.
No, but it's These Times Are Changing, isn't it? They have a massive fundraiser for their court case.
Eddie Vedder is a big supporter of them, and they try and raise a lot of money to try and get them out of prison.
So that is the gem, and it is time to find out what we are watching next week on Sofa Cinema Club. But we have some big news, because next week, Sofa Cinema Club is going to look completely different to normal. There is not going to be two episodes of Sofa Cinema Club. There is going to be 5 episodes of Sofa Cinema Club. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We are banging out 5 episodes in honour of the Oscars. It's award season, and here at the Sofa Cinema Club, we're going to get our suits on, and we are going to do some special Oscars episodes. We've got it all. Mm. We've got a special E.T. that is an Oscars film. We're going to talk about the best films that haven't won Oscars, and we're also going to finish the week off with the very own Sofa Cinema Club Oscars. So there's a full week of Oscars-related content to come that you can only find on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, and we will be there waiting for you. So in doing so, next week's first episode, which is chosen by you guys at home, the audience, had to be an Oscars film. So we put it out there on the Instagram for you to suggest your Oscars films. And we got Titanic.
We did.
Slumdog Millionaire.
Chicago,
and
Dances with Wolves. That's a rum choice, isn't it? It's a rum do this week for the Oscar special, isn't it? We could have picked about a million brilliant films.
So Dances with Wolves lost out to Chicago, but only by 10%, so there was only a couple of hundred votes in it.
Mm.
But then in the other semi-final, it was an absolute landslide. Titanic versus Slumdog Millionaire. Well, which one do you think's won?
What, Titanic?
Titanic smashed it. Over 500 votes between them. Titanic smashed it with 67%. Which means the final was Titanic versus Chicago. And, well, again, it was an absolute landslide. And the film that we are watching next week for you guys at home is Titanic.
I'll never let go.
So next week we are watching Titanic. It's an Oscars special week on Sofa Cinema Club. And if you want to get more Sober Cinema Club, you can do. We've said it a few times, but we are now on Patreon. And if you want to check out our Patreon, where there is bonus Sober Cinema Club, extra content, and it's really easy to interact with the three of us, all you've got to do is go on over to www.patreon.com/SofaCinemaClub, where you will find extra Sofa Cinema Club. So our newest members on Patreon who are joining our film production company or cinema, whatever you want it to be, are...
The lighting director is Tint. Let's see what I did there.
And head of sound on Boom, I've got Gavin Broom.
Well, I've had to go Cheryl Salisbury. She's going... I'm running out of jobs. It's really cheating me off. Ice cream sales, but in the interval. In the interval. That's
in the interval.
Art director, Simon Wilson.
Very good. Ooh, I thought you were going to leave that for Ben, seeing as that's Ben's best mate.
No, but
head of makeup, we've got Sophie Mule.
Ah, now, this is funny, isn't it, here? Ellie and Callum.
Mm. I've said about this last week.
Sharing a Netflix there. I'm going to put them on one job, but I'm going to put them on tickets.
Ooh.
You see? Not great.
Not great.
Not great, because they're sharing it.
Yeah.
If they weren't sharing it, they'd get a great job.
They got great.
Get projectionist all day long.
Yeah.
Ellie and Callum are tickets.
Tickets. Lauren Padley. What's she doing these days? Extra.
Ooh, Lauren.
Yeah.
Talking extra.
No,
just extra.
Just walk.
Essay.
Yeah.
Walking.
No talkie. Walkie.
And head of lot security, we have got Cheryl Salisbury.
I did her.
We've done it every week.
Cheryl's on the selling the ice creams midway through. Uh-huh. Literally, you've got a 2-second memory. You look at it and go... Oh, Cheryl.
Well, that is all of our newest members who have joined us on Patreon this week. As always, thank you for joining. And you know what to do if you want to be the next person in the cinema or in the production company, whatever you want. You know how to do it. We're back on Monday for Sofa Cinema Club Extraterrestrial Oscars special. Until then, good night. God bless.
Good night. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.